Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text that we shall consider this morning comes from the first chapter of the letter to the Romans. reading verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So far the text. In Christ Jesus, who with his word of grace and forgiveness has powerfully changed your lives, causing you, like the rest of us who were born dead in our sin, now to be alive forevermore, dear fellow redeemed. Have you ever been asked for your advice and your words were heeded, but did not achieve the desired results? The Lord speaks through his prophet Isaiah. In fact, this was from our Old Testament lesson for many of us last Sunday, how powerfully his word works when it is declared. He said, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." And that's a big difference between our word and the word of the Lord. Our words may have the power of persuasion, but God's word has power to give actually what it declares. And that is why the apostle in our text says, "For I am not ashamed of or disappointed in the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." So when the sinner hears, "Believe in my Son and be saved," the unregenerate is born again, believes, and is saved. When God speaks his word of absolution through his spokesman, saying, "Your sins are all forgiven you," they are forgiven. Every last one of them. When Jesus, through the waters of life, baptizes the one born dead in sin, he or she lives, and not just for the moment, but born again everlastingly. And when Jesus says through the pastor, "This is my body, my blood," it is, as we eat and drink, it is that body given, that blood shed, for what? For the forgiveness of sins. The gospel is not mere information which the sinner must be convinced is true. After all, the same apostle writing to the Corinthians admits that the gospel is foolishness to the sinful mind. So there's no convincing anyone through logic that it makes sense that God, whom we have offended in our sin, would love us so much he would sacrifice his only begotten Son for us. No logical words put together by the human race can make that seem persuasive. You see, the gospel is not only informative, but more importantly, it is performative and transformative. It is as powerful as when God said at the beginning, "Let there be," and there was. Light, dry land, vegetation, etc. And remember the repeated expression after God's powerful word spoke. God saw that it was good. His word is still active among us today, doing good, performing good among us. In Jesus' day, you might remember the centurion who felt unworthy to have Jesus come under his roof to heal his servant. The centurion said to Jesus, "Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. Paul tells us what is contained in the gospel. The good news of our redemption in Christ Jesus, namely God's righteousness for us, is contained in that powerful word. And just as we are forgiven of all our sins by that word, so we are clothed in Christ Jesus' holy life, his righteousness, his everlasting righteousness. You and I do not attend divine services on Sunday or our chapel services throughout the week to be convinced or even argued into believing, as we have pointed out, that can't happen. No, we gather at such times for God to speak his creative, powerful, effective word. And we expect, as he promises, he acts upon us, giving us, bestowing upon us the very things he declares. Has Satan deceived you into thinking that the gospel, Jesus Christ, and him crucified is an old, tired story that needs to fade away for those who already believe it, thinking that you now need more instruction in the law to become finally that righteous person before God as he desires of you? That's rubbish. The just, the righteous ones live by faith alone in the one God sent for us all. That word must be actively heard by you until your dying day, giving you Jesus and his forgiveness, life, and salvation, just as he promises. It is only then that you get to hear the law of God with great delight and desire to fulfill it to his glory and to the welfare of your neighbor. You too, by the Spirit's gracious working, can say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It has accomplished God's purpose in me, purely by his grace. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen." Please rise for prayer. Lord God, bless your word wherever it is proclaimed. Empower it to convert those who do not yet believe and to renew those who have come to trust its saving truth, granting all through faith the peace of trusting how it bespeaks us righteous before you. May your word pass from ear to the heart, from the heart to the lip, and from the lip to the life, that, as you have promised, your word will achieve the purpose for which you sent it. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us. Amen.